This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. Welcome to a stormy edition of the WBBM Noon Business Hour. It's Thursday, March 14th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hart.
I'm Chris Kreidel. We have a flood watch up until 3 p.m. and a wind advisory effect until 10 p.m. tonight. So we're going to be watching this throughout the day. Right now, it is in the 40s and the 50s.
And the markets have reached a comfortable cruising altitude. Let's bring in Elisa Parenti from Bloomberg with the latest.
That's right, Rob. Neither much higher or lower on the day. We are very narrowly mixed. While both the U.S. and China have said progress is being made during trade talks, it doesn't appear that Presidents Trump and Xi will be meeting to sign a deal this month. Bloomberg reports the earliest such meeting would occur, according to sources, at the end of April. The Dow is up 6 points to 25,708. NASDAQ up a fraction of a point. S&P down a fraction of a point. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index sliding 0.33%. We did get some downbeat news on the housing sector. New home sales dropped to a three-month low in January, extending the property market's recent run of weakness. Three of four regions reported slower sales, and the Midwest suffered the largest losses. And jobless claims are creeping higher. They rose to a four-week high of 229,000. The data suggests the slowdown in global growth, along with other forces, could be restraining the U.S. economy. Back to you, Rob and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, among other stories, we're talking economics, updates on Boeing, and some questions about ethics in the tech sector.
Buy, sell, listen. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The skyline of downtown Chicago could see major changes under a development proposal for the area near Soldier Field. We're going to cover that in our next segment. But right now, a report on sales of new homes leads today's data. And we are joined by Bob Bruska, chief economist at Fact and Opinion Economics in New York. Bob, welcome back to the Noon Business Hour. What does this mean about the homes, the sales of new homes?
Well, a month ago, the new home sales showed a sharp jump, and now we're seeing a substantial unwinding from that one-month jump. So the housing is looking like it's being badly affected. I mean, there are clearly a couple of things that happened. It began with the Federal Reserve raising interest rates, and even though the yield curve has been very flat, which means that long-term interest rates are staying pretty low while the Fed was raising short-term interest rates, mortgage rates were still pushed up to some extent, and that was beginning to affect housing. And then we had the change in the tax legislation that I think has made housing a lot less desirable than it used to be, because housing has lost some of its tax deductibility. You lose the ability to deduct your state and local income taxes or to have a cap on it. And I think that that's probably one of the things that's hanging over the housing market quite a lot right now.
How do you see the economy going at this time of the year?
It's been kind of sputtering. You saw the weak job report for February, but February is a short month. It's a month with volatile weather. It has, not only is it short numerically, it has a lot of holidays, so it has very few working days. And so February is not really a very reliable month, but there was a sharp slowdown, and it causes us to look at these numbers perhaps a little bit differently. There have been industrial data that have been weak as well, so it's just not clear. The economy looks like it's sputtering a little bit.
Bob, interesting point you raise about the tax bill taking some of the incentives out of real estate as an investment. Are we just starting to scratch the surface of how that will affect the economy? Because you do have a lot of people who do buy second properties, a condo or another house, maybe as a rental property or a supplemental source of income. Because of the tax advantages, they don't have them anymore, and now they're not going to do it. So how is that going to, what's the long-term impact of that, let's say over the next 5 years?
Well, I'll tell you, it should, as you watch this occur, you know, you should think about some of the things that the new progressives want to do, because, you know, if we're going to do things, if the Democrats are going to win in the next election cycle, and if they're going to do things to try to tax wealthy people, you know, you can talk about taxing the billionaires and the millionaires, but, you know, if you really want to raise money, you've got to tax people who are moderately affluent as well. And that's what's going to generate enough tax revenue to really do some of these things. And you're beginning to see what happens when you hit the housing stock. A lot of people have a lot of their wealth tied up in their houses. And now as that begins to unravel, it's going to affect the way people look at the wealth. It's going to affect their savings rate, their spending behavior. It's going to affect a lot of things. I mean, you can laugh about economics being trickled down, but, you know, wealthier people have more money and they spend most of the money. And, you know, the problem with this new progressive doctrine or movement for the economy is that it's geared to increase consumption, and it's not geared to increase production. And so it's going to make the trade gap bigger. It's not going to make us wealthier. It's going to create more consumption. And yet it'll create more consumption for the middle class, but it will cause us to have bigger trade deficits, and it won't make America more competitive. It might make some people happier for a while, but and ultimately, I think if you want to make America more prosperous, you need to do something that affects output, not consumption. I think affecting consumption is the easiest thing in the world. And I'm very concerned about, you know, this direction that we're going, and people who just want to get more money and don't want to do anything more for it. You know, this is not exactly the JFK view of the world.
Well, that's certainly a debate that's going to take place across the economy as the 2020 presidential campaign gets going in earnest. Another candidate jumping into the race, Beto O'Rourke, and of course we'll be talking about tax plans and the impact of the one that was passed last year as they hit the campaign trail. That was Bob Bruska, chief economist, Fact and Opinion Economics, based in New York. Coming up, a massive transit center would provide an anchor for skyscrapers under a plan being floated for downtown Chicago.
Cash, credit, debit, and totally free. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
A plan led by a Wisconsin-based developer would place a new transit center and skyscrapers west of Lakeshore Drive in downtown Chicago. Let's learn more from Bob Reed, a business writer and contributor for Chicago Magazine. Bob, welcome back to the program. This development would be built basically on top of what is now the Metra Electric maintenance facility immediately west of Soldier Field, correct?
Yeah, that's right. This is a whopper of a plan here. Not only the size, which is about 34 acres and worth multi-billions of dollars in construction and other development costs, but in addition to that is the scope. And like you're mentioning, they're talking about building a transit center. And then on top of that and around that center, building a bunch of office and or residential towers and entertainment and restaurants and things like that. And the whole idea here is that it would very much open up development going into the South Loop.
Well, who could have imagined 100 years ago when the Illinois Central Railroad electrified those tracks that it would be extremely forward-thinking for real estate developers that they could build Millennium Park and this skyscraper development over the tracks without worrying about pollution suffocating the transit riders? Who gets paid here? Who will get paid for the air rights when they build this potential development by Soldier Field?
A developer by the name of Gerald Fogelson, who is the developer of the Central Station, which is nearby, owns those air rights, and he is part of this development plan. And your point about the railroad lines is very important, because they were basically considered a detriment to any kind of development. But as time has gone on, transportation has become so crucial and key to downtown development in particular that this group wants to integrate that into the plan. It's actually the center of it, and then build from there. It is forward thinking, but it's going to take a long time to get it where it needs to go. They're talking about a 15-year timeline for this plan.
Well, in a sense, recently we've been watching people kind of reinvent parts of the Chicago area. They want to reinvent. And that could take another 100, 200 years from now. They could be talking about these things.
Absolutely. You know, right now, You have Lincoln Yards coming online. That's a big development. You have the 78, which is along the river in Chinatown. The Michael Reese site is being developed. These are all massive developments that are going to have multi-uses and multi-purposes. In addition, you have this one. One of the questions, obviously, is can they get the financing to do that? Is it still going to be out there, and will it still look good over the years? And is there going to be demand? You know, all these other projects are coming online. How many high-end condos and luxury residences do you need in Chicago? And then there's the political question about the neighborhoods. The next mayor, whoever that's going to be, this will be one of the big developments that they're going to have to look into and perhaps sign off on. And it's going to raise a lot of interesting questions considering how the campaign has gone so far.
Thanks a lot, Bob Reed, business writer and contributor for Chicago Magazine. Technology Thursday is on the way, but first, a business update from Bloomberg.
WBBM News Time, 12:25. Let's take a look at the markets with Elisa Peretti.
Chris, not much movement for stocks. The Dow is up 4 points to 25,707. NASDAQ lower by a fraction of a point, and the S&P also down just 1 point. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is lower by a third of a percent. Crude oil futures gaining 0.5% and trading near $58.50. Now let's turn to Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
We've been bait, but we've been mixed here. At the markets, corn has been up 5.5 at the moment. December's up 1.75 at 3.94. Beans have been up as much as 5. They're also on the other side at the moment. July, November's down 1.75 at 9.34, and wheat was up as much as 12. We still have July wheat up 9 at 4.64 1/4. Mixed prices at the Board of Trade, and this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thank you, Pete. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Our weather has taken a turn for the worse. We'll have a live update from AccuWeather meteorologist Bob Larson just ahead.
The stocks are trading near the flat line. We'll see what's moving the stock market and update the oil market.
Technology Thursday, we learn how friends and families of Facebook employees get preferential support and update the latest investigation into the site's privacy policies.
Actor Jussie Smollett pleads not guilty to charges that he filed a false police report about being attacked in downtown Chicago.
WBBM Business, the Dow is up 15 points. The NASDAQ is up 2.25. The S&P 500 down just a fraction.
And a flood watch until 3 p.m. for Lake and McHenry counties, a wind advisory in effect until 10 p.m. And, of course, we've got a tornado watch in effect until 5 p.m.
And let's get the latest on the severe weather watches and warnings from AccuWeather and meteorologist Bob Larson.
In addition to those watches, we have a severe thunderstorm warning until 12:45 for Kendall and Will counties. That particular storm and cluster of storms was near Peoria about an hour ago. It continues to advance toward the north and east. We'll be moving across portions of the city within the hour. It's had a history of bringing heavy downpours and very strong wind gusts. There's potential for hail. And as we go through the next few hours anyway, any storm that moves through is capable of spinning up an isolated tornado, and that is why that tornado watch has been issued, runs till 5 p.m. Once we get to late afternoon, the threat of storms moves away, but it'll begin to turn colder. In fact, much colder weather on the way for tonight and tomorrow, and it will stay quite windy. I'm AccuWeather meteorologist Bob Larson, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
We will have updates throughout the afternoon and the evening. WBBM News Time, 12:32, the Noon Business Hour presented by Old Second Bank. Markets are rather sluggish today. We're joined by Gary Kaltbaum, president of Kaltbaum Capital Management, Fox News business contributor in Orlando. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour. Gary, things are kind of slow today on Wall Street.
Yeah, but a little bit better underneath the surface. The financials are acting well, and the leading group in the market for the last few months has been software stocks. Even when the market was trashed in November, December, they hardly dropped. These things are very, very strong, the whole group here, and that's good news. And the fact that we're just sitting for a day, especially after the last 3 days, I have absolutely no complaints about what I'm seeing so far.
And what are you seeing exactly?
just the great ability for the market. We pulled back for a week and got it all back in 2 days. And on a day like today where the indices rest, you still have underlying strength.
What do you like in the market right now?
The technology area. Just like I said, these software stocks, we can start with the mega cap names like a Microsoft, and then you can get to other names that people don't even know about, names like ServiceNow. We're going to find out about Adobe Systems after the close today. If form continues, they'll probably have strong numbers and be up nicely. We'll see what happens there. I try not to predict that. But this is good stuff right now, and that's where I'm diving into.
Well, Facebook, and we'll go into this in our next segment, but Facebook has had a rough 24 hours. Yesterday, their servers were down. People were having a hard time logging into Facebook, but Instagram and WhatsApp as well. I mean, there were all sorts of influencers on Instagram who couldn't influence because Instagram wasn't available. Then there's also the announcement of another criminal investigation into their data practices. Have the markets priced in criminal investigations into Facebook's data practices, or will the stock still react to that to news on that level?
If the market wasn't strong right now, I think Facebook would be down $10 plus today. Criminal investigations matter. And I suspect there's going to be a bunch of this as we move forward. They have handled themselves very poorly as a corporation in answer to a lot of these things. And arguably, Mr. Zuckerberg on Capitol Hill did not tell the truth. And we'll leave that to everybody else to have their opinion. The fact of the matter is they have issues, and they're going to have to start coming clean, because if it's found out that more and more of these things that they said weren't happening were happening, I think not only criminal investigations, but the people on Capitol Hill are going to be on top of them.
If you jump in the Wayback Machine to March 14th of 1999, all the takes out of the tech sector involved antitrust action against Microsoft. Is that inevitable for a Facebook, that they're going to have a date with the regulators and that it's going to be either broken up or limited in some capacity?
Well, if Elizabeth Warren becomes president, probably yes. She's already called to break up everybody and their grandmothers if they're too big. So I think there's a shot of that, but I don't think so. Unless really government really pounds away at them and the antitrust people start coming down. I think it's more talk than anything at this juncture. But look, anything's possible. We're in a new world right now where government seems to have a say in everything that goes on. And I don't think it's out of the question, but I wouldn't be betting on it.
We're going to be talking about this issue with our next segment, but I'm interested in how you feel about this headline. Facebook employees have special hotlines they can use to get faster customer support for their friends and family. And it goes into depth. We're going to be talking a little more about that. What's your read on this?
You know, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know if it's the worst thing in the world, but for a company that says they're community and fair-minded, and all of a sudden you find out some things where their own people are treated special versus the public. Yeah, it's something that you have to think about, because it seems like there could be a little hypocrisy in there. And again, the main point I have to say is I think Facebook's public relations has been an absolute horror show. So who's ever handling that for them better either work better, or they need to find somebody else. I just don't think they've handled any of the answers to the questions that are out there very well.
Gary, thanks for joining us today. Gary Kaltbaum. His website is GaryK.com. And up next, Technology Thursday. While you may be stuck in a Facebook customer support line, others will be skipping past you.
Discussing your dollars, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Technology Thursday, and today the spotlight once again is on Facebook and several issues confronting the social media giant. We're joined by Paul Hochman, president of Humongous Media and former tech editor of The Today Show, based in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Paul, the two issues that are hitting Facebook today, I mean, above and beyond the server outage yesterday that caused people to have a hard time logging into Facebook and being mad about whatever comes across the transom. It's under criminal investigation once again for sharing data allegedly without customers' knowledge. And also that Facebook has a special hotline or a special area for its employees to complain about problems before the general public. And this leads to a much larger issue, and that is about ethics in the tech industry, and that is they can invent these applications that make our lives easier, but they can't grapple with or understand what the consequences they bring about.
You know, it's beyond just the tech industry. Of course, it's focused on Facebook today. The real issue at Facebook, I mean, when you look at it, the sort of focused challenge at Facebook is internal, you know, folks, employees at Facebook have the ability to give friends, people just friends they randomly know, an ability to sort of shortcut the line to get technical issues resolved, or say that your account has been suspended for reasons you don't understand. If you're one of the average users out there in the world, like I am, for example, and I don't know anybody who works at Facebook, I don't have any recourse other than to just sort of click the help line and hope it goes well. There's an internal line for employees, informally known as OOPS. You can go click on OOPS, and employees can get answers to those same questions that outsiders could not get help with so quickly. So really what it comes down to is cutting the line. And cutting the line has been annoying to people since there have been lines. But, you know, I think also in the news lately, and ethics in general, is, you know, you look at the college recruiting or the college application scandal where people are paying to go to the front of the line. So people are annoyed at Facebook right now on a lot of levels. They obviously criminal investigations, big challenges, but probably the most irritating so far is this idea that folks can get better service if they just know somebody.
And is it criminal, perhaps, that the employees have special hotlines they can use to get faster customer service for their friends and family, as opposed to the rest of us?
Well, it feels criminal, but I don't think it is. I mean, I think that it's a fact that almost any company has certain perks that it offers its employees of various kinds. I mean, everybody from Google and its always open free cafeteria to you name it, to transportation to the facilities for some other companies that offer those for their employees. So, you know, offering perks is no big deal. Insider track, no big deal. And I don't even think that the idea of extending that benefit to a Facebook employee so they can turn to their friends and say, hey, if you need help, I'll help you. That's probably a gray area, but I don't think it rises or falls, I guess, to the level of criminality. But boy, does it upset people who feel like they have no control in this world, that technology somehow is taking their information and maybe giving them convenience, but really not offering them value. So it certainly does feel like somebody's taking something.
Because the companies always assure you that they'll be on it and they'll correct any problem that you have as soon as possible.
Well, thank you very much, Paul Hochman, president of Humongous Media and former tech editor for the Today Show, based in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Join us at this time tomorrow for Entrepreneur Friday, and still to come, an update on the oil markets.
Money talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Also, the price of oil is up today and has hit a high for the year. We're joined by Phil Flynn, senior market analyst at Price Group and Fox Business News contributor here in Chicago. Phil, nice to have you back on the program again. And tell us why the price of oil is up today.
It's really going up because of more concerns about the loss of oil from Venezuela and OPEC production cuts. And this is really starting to take a toll on U.S. supply. You know, a few weeks ago, you know, people were worried about a slowing global economy. They were worried about, you know, that we'd have an oil glut. And you know, we saw some of the U.S. producers start to struggle making money. They cut back production a little bit. And then all of a sudden, you know, this expected drop in demand that we were supposed to see happen never really materialized. And this comes at a time where OPEC is very upset with President Trump and his policies with backing off the Iranian oil sanctions. So they want to send him a message by cutting back production. And then, of course, you have the situation in Venezuela, which is spinning out of control. And people don't realize that many U.S. refiners are dependent on Venezuelan oil. And now that it's missing, U.S. supplies are tightening, and that's driving up these prices.
And so what does this look like for Americans who drive, and how much?
I think right now we're already seeing gasoline prices go up. We could see prices add anywhere from 15 cents to 25 cents a gallon over the next couple of months. It's not all bad news, because part of that's being driven by the U.S. economy, which is on fire right now. We've seen U.S. gasoline demand rise 2 weeks in a row, and so it's really a reflection of an economy that's doing good, and we're consuming more gasoline. The bad news is, though, it's coming at a time where we're seeing these restraints to supply, which is making it harder for refiners to keep those gasoline prices down.
The price of oil right now?
Right now, the price of oil, we're showing last at up 30 cents, $58.55 right now, up 30 cents on the day. Most analysts believe that we could see $60 a barrel before the end of May.
And it's even with unrest in Venezuela, it seems like a far cry from previous dust-ups with Iran, when that pushed the price of oil past $100 a barrel.
You can thank the U.S. energy producers for that, Rob. The record U.S. production that we've seen in recent months has kept the cap on oil, and that's one of the reasons why we're not seeing prices substantially higher than they are today. So it's given that a buffer. But the sad part about that story is it's going to be difficult for the U.S. producers to continue at that pace. They can't really match OPEC barrel to barrel unless prices are even higher than they are today.
Thanks a lot, Phil Flynn, senior market analyst with the Price Group based in Chicago.
WBBM News Time, 12:55. Let's get our last conversation here with Elisa Parenti.
Well, Chris, we're taking a slight leg lower now. The Dow is down 14 points, NASDAQ losing 10, S&P in the red by 4 points, and the Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg falling 0.5%. The parent company of Men's Warehouse is thinking you might like the way this looks better. It's adding more casual clothing to its lineup, it says, to keep up with more casual dress codes. But stock in Tailored Brands, the parent company, is tanking, losing a quarter of its value on last quarter's results. And look out, Apple. Walmart is moving into iPad territory. The retailer plans to introduce an inexpensive, kid-friendly tablet computer, part of a broader redesign of its electronics department. The device will be made by a Chinese supplier and run on Google's Android operating system. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.